Chapter 8. Incus Maximal, Malleus Mundi, Orbital. Astropath Orm de Zoet pulled himself through the module hatch and allowed his frail, green-robed frame to drift through the crowded weightlessness of the compartment. He wore a pair of tinted goggles to hide the empty sockets of his eyes, which, combined with his spindly frame, gave the astropath the appearance of an insect. He clutched a suckle flask of low-grade Amasek to his chest and allowed a low stick to drizzle smoke in his wake. He negotiated the module in silence, inhaling through the narrow slits of his nostrils before exhaling through the grim line of his mouth. With one hand, the blind savant groped and pulled himself past various datamat, holomat, and automat servitors who were wired into their observation cradles. Finding a corner of the compartment not drowning in cables, surveillance equipment, or Adeptus Mechanicus priest personnel and servitors, de Zoet settled in an alcove, bobbing about in the zero gravity. "Master de Zoet, Natatio Logi Lutron Videl," addressed the astropath. "You are intoxicated, sir. Again." There was no hint of accusation or displeasure in the adept's static-laced voice, no wrinkle of vexation in the ebony flesh of his hood-framed face. As ranking priest on the Addendus 727 Broad Spectra Adeptus Mechanicus Signum Station, the Notatio Logi was not given to such emotional indulgence. It was simply a statement of recorded fact. Like a hump shuttle pilot on an outpost, only required during the cycle changeover of arrival and exodus, de Zoet was bored, underemployed, and without distraction. De Zoet said nothing.
"My brother Adept is reminding you of your responsibilities,"
Lex Mechanic Ortegra Ziegel said, turning away from the rune banks built into almost every surface of the compartment. She reached past the astropath. Nudging him to one side in the zero gravity, the Lex Mechanic adjected several plungers and dials. The outline of her cranial cogitator was like a research installation built into an asteroid, its unit accretions dominating her shaven head.
"This is the Omnisire's work," she said. "His loyal servants work hard to compile statistics and testimonia for the astro-telecommunication data package."
"To Mars," de Zoet said, putting one hand across his chest in a mock salute while raising his suckle flask.
"It would be an unacceptable waste of time, resources, and data," Lutatio Logi Videl added, "if the package were not to reach the Fabricator General's Coralis Diagnostiad."
"It would,"
de Zoet agreed, taking another slug of Amasek. "Which is why I've opened a file on your fitness for such an important duty," Videl told the astropath with cold indifference.
"A file," de Zoet repeated. "Honored."
Again, he raised the flask. "Orspex mechanic Kelso Tolek has been identified as best qualified to monitor your competence," Videl said. Tolek turned his hooded face from the data-pulsing rune banks and refocused his ocular quad of bionics on the astropath. De Zoet picked the tobacco from his thin lips.
"I can make Adept Tolek's service record and signum specifications available for your perusal if you wish," said Erlen Omnio.
Omnio was an officious transmechanic with an annoyingly cheerful face mask. De Zoet took a long drag on his low stick before flooding the crowded Servalancia module with silky smoke and reaching for a plunger set in the compartment ceiling.
"Please don't touch that," Videl said. The Logi was very particular about the Signum Station's equipment.
De Zoet gave him the dark lenses of his goggles and yanked down hard on the handle. The compartment rumbled as a metal blast screen lowered to reveal the thick armor glass of the module's observation port. The searing ice-white glare of the Incus Maximal and Malleus Mundi forge worlds dominated the void beyond. The surfaces of the pair were blotched with the black clouds of planetary destruction. Between them sat the rusted clinker-plate body of an armored moon, a greenskin abomination that rained swarms of invasion craft down on the frozen planets. Hanging above the decimation of Xenos' conquest was a flotilla of Adeptus Mechanicus' arc ships and supertransports, receiving the last of the Forge World survivors. "This is what I am referring to, Master Astropath," Vidal told him, without the suggestion of annoyance or inconvenience De Zoet's actions might have provoked. "Such willful behaviour necessitates monitoring. I expected more of your kind. That was my mistake. After all, you are flesh, and flesh is weak." The Logi turned to his Auspex mechanic. "Tolek, I want scan coverage, auger arrays, and vox monitoring intensified by 40% in line-of-sight quadrants, particularly those occupied by Mechanicus contingents. Without filters, we might have emitted some optical or energy signature of our position."
"Scanning," the Auspex mechanic said.
"I understand why our surveillance needs to remain hidden from the enemy," De Zoet acknowledged. "But your own people and priesthood? You've let them just die up to now anyway. Soon there won't be anyone left to detect your presence."
"Master De Zoet," Vidal said, "are you familiar with our third law of universal variance?"
"He will not comprehend,"
Ortegra Siegel said with confidence.
"It is called the bystander paradox," Vidal continued, "and it states that whatever the machine god servant observes, he affects. The Magos Metallurgicus involvement in an experiment might threaten to change its chemical outcome. An alien life form might behave differently under the gaze of a Magos biologist than it would in its natural environment. A patient might stifle pain or embarrassing symptoms in the presence of a Magos physic. You see, this Signum station is under strict orders from the Fabricator General himself. Covertly observe, record, document, do not interact. This is our solemn responsibility, and it is your solemn responsibility to send the sum total of our data and observations back to Mars."
"Solemn responsibility?" the astropath repeated back. "What about our responsibility to those people?"
"Their loss has been weighed and measured against future gains," Vidal replied.
"And what are the losses on other worlds?"
De Zoet spat back morosely.
"While you coldly catalogue the slaughter of the machine god's servants, what of the mortis cries of the dozen imperial worlds I have intercepted? Mortis cries of dying billions that I am bound by ancient decrees of my own order to report on, but that your surveillance protocols forbid?"
"I calculate that to be a burden, Master Astropath," Lutron Vidal said, "but a necessary one. We cannot allow enemies, Xenos or domestic, to learn of our surveillance. I understand that the mortis cries might have tested you."
"These deaths are but data to you,"
De Zoet said grimly.
"You can close your blast screen so that you might avoid looking down on your losses. I have no such screen. I live each and every one in here,"
the astropath said, slapping his palm against his temple.
"I repeat," Vidal said, "we acknowledge the burden of such mortis cries."
"And of the astrotelepathic distress calls to have reached us?"
De Zoet interrupted.
"What of the living priest? Thirsk's world, Aguilan Tertius, Idolica, the Verge worlds, 51 Xerxes, Port Sanxus, Undine. What of those we could save by breaking your precious law of universal variance? Those who might be saved by others if you only allow me to pass on their communications. We might be the only ones to have intercepted such calls for assistance."
"Our protocols are clear,"
Vidal said, unaffected by the astropath's entreaties.
"We are authorized to send one communication. One communication containing our evidence and findings. Observations of enemy conquest strategies, the workings of Xenos technologies, and the relative successes or failures of victim worlds to repel invasions.
One, communication, signalling the signum station's readiness for extraction and redeployment. These billions you feel for do not perish in vain. The Fabricator General will learn much from their annihilation. Dizut pushed himself back into the corner of the compartment, defeated by the cold logic of the tech priests. Unclipping herself from her observation cradle, Otegra Ziegel allowed herself to drift upwards. Reaching out, she depressed the ceiling plunger, initiating the hydraulic closure of the port blast screen. She had no words of comfort for the astropath. Such capacity had long been surgically sliced from what was left of her organic brain. But she watched Azut with brazen curiosity as he shook his head and took a long, hard drink from his suckle flask.
"I don't understand you," he mouthed, before again returning to the zero-gravity teat on the flask.
Ziegel turned to her Notatio Logi master.
"Perhaps we should send the intelligence package now," she said.
Kelso Tollick turned his ocular quad on the Lex mechanic.
"What of the data loss, the analytical deficiencies?"
"We would be failing both our Fabricator General and the Omnisire,"
Earl and Omnio said, his cheerful face mask unchanged.
"Master Dizut is under your monitorance," Ziegel put to Tollick. "Can you vouch that he will be able to send communication following the destruction of the Cryoforge worlds? That could take days. It could take weeks. How many more Mortis cries will he intercept in that time?"
The Orspex mechanic considered, then admitted to Vidal,
"Master Dizut's capabilities and willingness to serve the machine god with his talents diminish with his intoxication and deteriorating state of mind. He is apparently unsuited for the isolation of surveillance service on a signum station. I calculate a 26.45% chance that he will abuse his talents and relay the astrotelepathic messages he has received, thereby invalidating our surveillance and possibly betraying our position to an enemy."
"Better to send the package incomplete and be of some use to the Diagnostiad than not to have it reach them at all," Vidal said.
"But the protocols," Erlen Omnio restated.
"Sub-protocols allow for adaptation in the face of an external threat to the sacred data," Vidal insisted. "An accident or enemy offensive, for example.
I am willing to interpret Master Azut's weakness of the flesh as such an external threat."
Taking the flask of Amasek from Orm Dizut, Vidal looked from the defeated astropath to his Lex mechanic.
"Begin preparing the data we have for Imperial translation. Master Dizut will sober up and send our findings to Mars, where, Omnisire willing, they shall aid the Fabricator General and his Coralis Diagnostiad in their holy celebrations."